I can't think of a better introduction to this sermon than that song and the closing line of that song, "May all my days bring glory to your name." Really, that summarizes the book of Colossians as we have studied through Colossians and have seen who Christ is and what he's done for us. And now as his people, God gives us his instructions and will for us to live. And that will is that we would do everything for the glory of God, to bring glory to his name, and that we would lift him up with our lives. I hope that's your desire and the goal of your life. If it's not, then join with me in praying that the Lord would do a work in your heart to change your goals and your desires so that you would desire to glorify God. You can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking today at prayer and evangelism in our passage. Prayer is so important. Jesus knew a thing or two about prayer. Jesus said in John 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We just looked at that during our Christmas sermon series. And Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. You can't bear fruit apart from your connection to me. And apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And we must rely on him. That's why Jesus also said, pray in my name. When you pray to the Father in my name. Rely on me and through me, bring your requests to the Father. Jesus knew about prayer. As you read in the Gospels, we see how Jesus would often slip away by himself for a quiet time of prayer. Sometimes he would stay up all night praying alone. Sometimes Jesus would wake up early while it was still dark and he would go off and he would pray. Jesus knew how important prayer was. And here Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the creator of the universe. And he is devoting himself to prayer. Have you ever thought about that? Why would Jesus pray so much if he was the Son of God? God the Son. He is God. He has infinite power. Why would Jesus devote himself to prayer? Well, Jesus knew several things about prayer. The first is that he knew that he needed to rely on the Father rather than rely on himself, and that his joy was tied to that. Jesus said, My food is to do the will of my Father. That was Jesus' sustenance. That was his joy. And as he sought the Father in prayer, he was seeking the Father's strength, seeking the Father's will. Second thing that Jesus knew is that Jesus knew that he needed to give an example for us to follow. Jesus, being a righteous man, fully God and fully man, he showed us what a godly man looks like. And we see his devotion to prayer, we see his practice of prayer and his habit, and we see that's what a godly man looks like. This is what a godly man does. And he gave us that example, that model for us to follow. But third, and probably most importantly, Jesus knew that delight and comfort comes through communion with God in prayer. If you think about prayer as a chore, this is something I need to do, it's part of my Christian life, I have to buckle down and do it, you're thinking about prayer wrong. Because prayer is a joy that you get to personally enter into the presence of God to bring your cares and your needs and your praise before him. Do you understand the blessing that that is. I remember in seminary, I had a professor, and he really caught our attention with this. And he asked the class, and it was a class of 50 guys, how many of you guys struggle to be consistent in prayer? You know, most of our hands went up. He said, how many of you guys, when you're praying, find yourself getting distracted and your mind wanders to other things? Yep, everyone's hand went up. How many of you, when you pray, get tired and sleepy and even fall asleep during prayer? You know, it's like, yeah, that's me too. And he said, I want you to imagine the angels in heaven. And as they look down and as they can see the life of believers, that the angels must be thinking, do they know the privilege of prayer? You know, here we are, struggling to pray, trying to make it a habit, a pattern, struggling to keep our thoughts from wandering, struggling to keep awake at the same time that we're coming into the presence of Almighty God. You see, prayer is a blessing. Prayer is a gift that God gives us, and He beckons His people. He commands us and He tells us to pray, but He also beckons us and says, come before me, bring your requests and your needs. What a privilege, what a joy that is, that we could enter into the presence of God. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, we see that God commands us to be devoted to prayer. But we also see the blessing and the invitation that He gives to us. So if you're there in Colossians chapter 4, before we start, just a little bit of a review. Colossians 3 and chapters 3 and 4, we see instructions about the Christian life. Chapters 1 and 2 deal with who God is, who Christ is, and the gospel, and what it means to be part of God's people, that we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness and now we're brought into the kingdom of light. And now as people that are part of God's kingdom, as children of God and as members of God's household, God says, okay, this is how I want you to live. This is how we do things in my kingdom. And chapter 3 and 4 gives instructions to wives, instructions to husbands, instructions to children. Last week we saw instructions for employees and employers. And now He gives instructions to believers. Okay, this is how you live out a life of faith. And the key ingredient in living out the life of faith is a life of prayer. And so you could take your Bibles, turn to Colossians 4, and we can start in verse 2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at all times for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear the way that I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how each of you, well, it looks like we got cut off there, so we'll just go. That's okay, Kurt. We're doing all right. So that you will know how each of you should respond. All right. So we're only missing a couple words there. So as we look at this, we see that this is an instruction that's given to the believers and how they're to function as believers bringing the gospel to unbelievers. It talks about your prayer and your speech. This is a two-part sermon. This first part, this morning, we're going to be looking at prayer and how we need to pray. And evangelism, and the key ingredient for evangelism is prayer, because you can't save anybody. And so what do we need to do? We need to lift them up to God. We need to pray for them. Pray that God would do the work in their heart. See, I'm not a cardiologist. It would be foolish for me to monkey around in someone's chest. I would do more harm than good. And spiritually, I can't cause anyone to be born again. I could share the gospel. I could pray for them. I could love them. I could care for them. These are things that we all should do. And here, Paul, he says, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to be devoted to prayer. And as we pray and as we trust God and make requests, guess what? He's going to do his work according to his will and in his timing. So the first truth that we see for a life of prayer, God wants us to pray and to make it a pattern. We see this first instruction, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. What does that mean? Well, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 begins, devote yourselves to prayer. This is something that we know, something that we understand, and it's something that we live out. Devote yourselves to prayer. God wants us to intentionally and purposely pursue him in prayer. It's important that we have a life where we're seeking God and where it's not just on the rare occasion. On the rare occasion, even unbelievers will cry out to God. Think about those plane crashes this last week. And how many people on those planes, as they were going down, cried out to God in fear. I had a friend in the Marine Corps, and he said, you know what, yeah, foxhole prayers are real. You come under fire, and guys hunker down in the foxhole, and they're an unbeliever their whole life, and now they turn to God. Well, here, God's word says, no, as people of God, you need to be devoted to God in prayer. This should be part of your normal life. Every day, multiple times a day, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And it's something that I can't do for you, and your spouse can't do it for you. You need to devote yourself and say, you know what, this is a priority in my life. This is what God commands. This is what God calls me to. This is the opportunity that God has given to me, and I'm going to devote myself to prayer. See, no one can do it for you, but it's something that you, in responding in faith and obedience, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do this. You see, God wants us to believe in him and trust him. And a life of faith and a life of trust isn't just saying, God, I trust you. But that life of faith and trust should impact our lives and our habits. And an indicator that someone trusts the Lord is not merely a profession of trust and a profession of faith, but a lifestyle of prayer. When I see someone praying, when I speak with someone and they're sharing a need and they say, hey, can we just pray right now? I know that they believe. Why? Because they're putting their faith into action and bringing that before the Lord, trusting the Lord. God's word says, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, this isn't something new. We see this throughout the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. We read about Daniel, and one of the ways that Daniel was attacked by the people within the kingdom, they couldn't find anything to accuse Daniel. The only thing that they could find was Daniel was a godly man. He was a man of prayer. And the only thing they could do to get Daniel was to have the king change the law to make it illegal to pray. That the only prayers and petitions could be brought before the king. That was the only thing that was allowed under that law. And Daniel, as a godly man in righteousness, said, I'm going to obey God rather than man. And it was Daniel's custom that he would go to his upper room and he would pray 3 times a day. He was devoted to prayer. You see, this is what godly people look like. They are devoted to prayer. Prayer is a priority in their life. And God wants it to be a priority in your life. He wants it to be a priority in my life. God's word tells us in the New Testament, a couple passages, that we are to pray at all times. Not only be devoted to prayer, but that we would be in constant prayer, with an attitude of prayer. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, with prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Notice the repetition of the idea of all times, always. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Be on the alert with perseverance and petition. The description here is that it is frequent prayer. As needs come up, persistent prayer, making petitions to the Lord. It's not just I prayed before my meal today, so now I'm okay. No, pray whenever you're aware of a need. You have a challenge, struggle, bring that to the Lord. You hear of a need of a brother or sister, bring that to the Lord in prayer. This prayer at all times. God's word also tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the shortest passage in Scripture. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Well, how does that work? Does that mean that every day as I'm going around, that just under my breath, I'm praying, trying to have a conversation with you, and I'm praying at the same time? Well, maybe. I can think of times in evangelism, you know, going door to door and talking with someone, and you're praying. Maybe they're hostile and they have questions, or they're on the attack. And so you're talking with them, and at the same time, you're praying, Lord, help me. Help me to remember Scripture. Help me to talk with them. Help me to care for them. And so you're having a conversation, and you're actively praying at the same time. I think the ladies could probably do that better. The ladies are good at multitasking. Well, here God's word says, pray without ceasing. And it doesn't mean that every waking moment of our lives we're praying, but that we have an attitude of prayer, persistent prayer. That prayer is more of the norm, that is more of the rule rather than the exception of our lives. And it goes back to God's command, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves in prayer. And so that's the first truth that we see in this passage. God wants you to have a life of prayer. The second truth that we see in this verse is to be alert in prayer. We need to be alert and awake and sober-minded in prayer. We look at the passage, and what does it say? It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. So not only are we to pray, but we're to be alert in it. And that's a struggle that we have. That you begin to pray and your mind starts to wander, and maybe you get tired. And to constantly bring your mind and your thinking back where you're putting the focus on God. Don't just go through the motions of prayer. Don't just pray and let your mind run wild. Paul talked about that with the Corinthians. He said, I'd rather pray with the knowledge of my mind rather than to have ecstatic speech. God wants us to be devoted to prayer, but to also be alert in prayer. Alertness, this is the idea of being watchful or ready or vigilant. It was used as a military term of soldiers, that soldiers, as they kept the night watch and they were tempted to fall asleep, they've marched all day long, and now they're at their post, and they would usually be at post for between 3 and 4 hours, and they would have that time, and they're watching. And the temptation is to become drowsy. But a good soldier remained alert, remained watchful and vigilant. And this is how God wants us to be. As we pray and as we go through this life, be watchful and vigilant, not just in the actual time of prayer, but to be watchful and vigilant, watchful for needs as you have conversations, to take time to pray with people, to pray for them as needs come up. Those are opportunities that you have not only for the gospel, but to care for them. You run into the person who's checking you out at Home Depot and they've had a long day and you can just see it in their eyes. And you ask them, it's been a long day, hasn't it? And they say, oh yeah. And you could ask them, you know, can I just pray for you? And you blow them away. The people behind you in line, they're hearing this. Guess what? You get to pray for them and be a gospel witness. You have needs within your family. Take time. You know what? We're going to pray right now. This is a need, and this is a time for us to draw near to the Lord. God wants us to be alert in prayer, to be watchful and vigilant. God wants you to be prepared and ready to pray, watching, listening for opportunities. So we need to be alert, not drowsy, not sleepy, but alert. And he says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. What does it mean to keep alert in it? It means not only to be alert, but to remain alert, to be keeping alert. It's hard to bring out the force of this in the English language without it sounding so redundant. But in the Greek language that Colossians was written, he's saying, be devoted to it, be alert, and keep being alert in it. You see, the emphasis is on, hey, make this a focused time. This is a time to concentrate your energies and your focus and your mental capacity to pray. Don't let yourself get distracted. Don't let yourself wander off and get sleepy. You know, you may find yourself saying, Pastor, I do the same thing. I get tired. I get sleepy. And God knows this. This is why he gave us this word. And this is why he says, hey, be alert and keep alert in it. Remember the disciples in the garden? As Jesus said, hey, watch and pray with me. The same word, be alert, be watchful, and pray. And what happened? They got drowsy, they got tired, and they were sleeping when they should have been praying. So you may be wondering, well, how do I put this into practice? So I'm going to give you a couple tips. A couple tips to put this in practice. Number one, have a prayer list. Write out a prayer list. Take a 3x5 card, or you may have a little notebook where you journal, or a sticky pad on your Bible, or just a sticky pad on your desk. Write out the prayer requests. And you can just do it in bullet points. Pray for Jim. Pray for the church. Pray for pastor. Pray for whatever it is. And you know what the needs are. And so you have that list. And as you pray, then you can just work your way through the list and it keeps your mind on track. And you don't get drowsy and you don't get distracted. You're able to pray through that list. That's one tip. Number two, find a quiet place where you could pray. Find a quiet place where you could kind of, you know, tune everything else out. Turn off the TV, turn off the phone. Leave your phone in the other room. Okay, limit the distractions, and then it's like, okay, Lord, this is a time where I'm seeking you. No distractions, it's just me and you. So make a list, make a special place of prayer. Number three, make a special time of prayer. So that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Were those associated with meals? Was it before meals? Was it after meals? We don't know. But he had a structure. And so have times of prayer when you're the most alert. Don't wait till the end of the day, that at the end of the day you're tired, you're tempted to get drowsy and fall asleep. Maybe you move your prayer time up, hey, right after dinner, or maybe earlier in the day. But you come to the Lord in prayer when you're most alert, most capable, most energetic, so that way you can be alert and vigilant. I'll give you a fourth tip. Sometimes it's good to get out and take a walk. Take a walk with your prayer list. And as you walk, you pray. And you have to make sure, you know, make sure it's a safe place. Make sure that it's not a place where you're going to be distracted. But get out there, get the blood flowing, and pray. And do it as you walk. You see, just simple things like that could help you to put this into practice where you're alert in prayer and keeping alert in prayer. The main idea is being devoted. Have that as a priority. And then actually remaining alert and steadfast and watchful in prayer. I mentioned this earlier. In Matthew 26, we see Jesus as he gives us instructions to disciples to pray. Matthew 26, verse 40, he says, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, God knows that this is a temptation. God knows that this is a struggle. He knows our weakness. And what does he do? He gives us instructions and he says, hey, watch out for this. Be alert. Keep watchful. Be diligent and devoted in prayer. We need to be alert in prayer. We also need to be persistent in prayer. You know, it's one thing to pray and bring needs before the Lord, but it's another thing to be persistent in our prayers. And God wants you to be persistent. Do you realize that God wants you to persist and rely on him, to bring your needs before him? Not in the sense of rote, just reciting it. God doesn't want us to have canned prayers where we say the same prayer all the time and it's just meaningless repetition. But God wants us to bring our needs before him with persistence. Look at what Jesus instructs in Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come from a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything.'" Jesus gives a hypothetical situation. Okay, what if you had a friend come and visit? Unexpected. Gets to your house, and it's late, and they've been traveling on this journey all day long, and what do you do? Well, you want to give them something to eat. You want to show hospitality. Problem is, we don't have any food in the house tonight. And what would you do? Well, you would go to another friend of yours and say, "Hey, lend me 3 loaves. And that friend says, "Hey, it's too late. Don't bother me now. It's inconvenient. I'm in bed. The kids are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything." But look down at verse 8. Jesus says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up to give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." This is what Jesus says. And didn't Jesus know human nature so perfectly? "Friend, I need your help." "No, it's too late. It's inconvenient. I know we're friends, but, you know, I'll help you tomorrow." And Jesus' point is the friend won't help simply because they're friends, but he'll help because his friend keeps knocking on the door. "Come on, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm not going away until you help me. And finally, the friend's like, all right, fine, I'll give you something. Why? Not because he's friends, but because of the persistence. And so Jesus, he uses that as an argument from the lesser to the greater. If your friend, who is a sinner, is motivated by persistence and not by love, how much more will God be motivated by his great love and your persistence? See what Jesus did there? You see, God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to come before him. He invites us to come. He says, make this the priority of your life. Come before me. I love you. I have blessings for you. And I want you to trust in me. And that trust comes not with occasional prayer, but with persistent, ongoing, devoted prayer. And Jesus encourages us. He says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And so are you seeking the Lord day by day? Lord, I'm here. I'm seeking you. Lord, it's me again. Lord, I'm here. Seek him. Ask and knock. Be persistent in prayer. And God's word tells us that these are the attitudes that should be part of our lives, and these should be the qualities, the actions that are part of the Christian life. So we need to be persistent in prayer. We need to have an attitude of prayer and be devoted to prayer. Lastly, we need to be alert in prayer. Be thankful in prayer. You know, part of prayer is not just asking requests. It's important to understand that the majority of prayer should be other things other than requests. If you just come before God and it's always requests, then you're praying wrong. God does want us to bring requests before him, but that's not all he wants us to bring. He wants us to bring thanksgiving. He wants us to bring gratitude. As we look at this, we see in our passage, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. God wants us to have an attitude of thanksgiving in our prayers. As we devote ourselves to prayer, one of those attitudes is not just diligence, not just making prayer a priority, but making thanksgiving an aspect of that prayer. See, the demeanor of our life should be one of gratitude and praise to God. You know, what do you have that you don't deserve? As a believer, salvation, fellowship with God, grace. We have family of other believers. We have spiritual gifts. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We have no condemnation. We have an eternity in heaven. We have eternal rewards and inheritance. All of those things, we don't deserve them all. And there's nothing that we could do to lay claim before those things except for trusting in Christ. Lord, my hope is in Christ and in all his promises. And every spiritual blessing you have, it's a gift of grace. It's not because we're deserving of it. And so we have so much to be thankful for. Here we're instructed to have an attitude of thanksgiving. We're to be devoted to prayer. We're to be persistent in prayer. But we're also to have an attitude of thanksgiving. And when you think about prayer, you need to think about prayer as several parts, several dimensions. If I asked a child, could you draw me a picture of a person? They might draw a stick figure, or they might color a picture, and there's dimension and shape to it. But even a child drawing a picture is going to have the head, the body, arms, and legs. They might not have five fingers and toes, but they're going to have those arms, the legs, the bodies, the main parts. And when you think of prayer, think about the main aspects of prayer. Well, one of those main aspects is thanksgiving. Remember to thank God and acknowledge Him for what He's done. Bring requests, bring needs, but also acknowledge what God has done, His faithfulness, His goodness. Now, there's an old acronym for prayer. It's called the ACTS acronym. A-C-T-S. It's the ACTS prayer. And ACTS is an acronym. It'll help you to think about the essential elements of prayer. The first one, A, is adoration. As we pray, to acknowledge who God is, His greatness, His splendor, His goodness. This is a time to worship the Lord and acknowledging His character and to adore Him. And so the first aspect of prayer is adoration, that we acknowledge who God is. The second one is C, for confession. As we come before God, acknowledge who He is, His greatness, then we acknowledge, Lord, it's me, and I need Your help because I'm a sinner. Lord, I failed You, and these sins in my life, I'm acknowledging them before You. I pray that You'd forgive me. Thank You that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me for my sins, and I need Your cleansing. And so confess your sins. Also confess your need. Confess, Lord, I need You. All of these requests, all of these things, they're outside of my capabilities. I can't solve these problems, Lord, but I know that You can. And so we bring our confession and we confess that truth to the Lord. T stands for thanksgiving. That we bring our thanks and we acknowledge God. This is what this passage is about, and emphasizing this aspect of thanksgiving. And then finally, the S stands for supplication. Supplication is just a fancy word for making requests. Lord, I have this need. Would You answer this prayer? Would You meet this need in this way? Pray to the Lord. Make your supplications. Pray with detail. Pray specifically. And make those requests known. So a couple questions for you is this part of the pattern of your life? Do you pray and do you offer your prayers with thanksgiving to the Lord? You can make requests and submit those requests to God. But are you thanking Him? Here's another question. Can you thank God even when you make requests and He says no? Can you thank God when He reveals His will? And His will is not something that you had in mind. And can you still come to Him and say, Lord, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that You did it Your way and not my way. Your way is better than mine, Lord. See, thankfulness and prayer is not just a matter of thanking God for the things that He's done that you are happy with, but sometimes God does the things in your life that you need, and they're not enjoyable at the time, and it's a disappointment at the time, and it's a time of grief and a time for you to have to submit to the Lord. But even in that submission to God, can you still thank God and praise God when He has given you what is right and not given you what you wanted? So this is the attitude of thankfulness in prayer. Can you thank God when His answer is no? You see, thankfulness needs to be an attitude of prayer, all aspects of it. You know, wonderful passage, and this may be something that you need to memorize. Commit this to memory. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, "Rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Rather than being anxious, responding to those trials and anxieties with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, bring your request to God. He wants you to. He said, just like you would knock on the door of your friend's house and be persistent. Be persistent with me. Ask, seek, knock. And do it with an attitude of thanksgiving. This is what God has called us to. He's called us to be people of prayer. Now, as we finish up our time, Jesus gave another parable about prayer and the benefit of prayer. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells the parable about a widow. In the ancient world, widows did not have the legal protection automatically granted to them. And so if a woman lost her husband, if she didn't have a son to be the head of the family, she was vulnerable. Her property was vulnerable. There'd be people that could come in and take advantage of her. There'd be people that made contracts and agreements with her husband, and now that he was dead, they wouldn't want to honor those contracts and agreements. And she's relying on those for income. And so Jesus takes this situation that was common in the ancient world, and he said, suppose there's a woman in the city, and there was a certain judge who did not fear God or respect man, and there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. Jesus paints this picture of this woman that's in need. But the judge is unrighteous. He's not a godly man. He's not compassionate. He's not good. He is an unrighteous judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't respect persons. And this woman asked for legal protection. Verse 4 says, for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect men, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her the legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Jesus paints this picture, and he says that even an unrighteous judge will respond to that persistent woman. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here's Jesus' point. Even an unrighteous person will respond to persistence. How much more will righteous, good God, who loves his children, respond to their needs? Has Jesus made his point? Do you understand the blessing of prayer? That God says, my door is open. And come in Jesus' name and boldly enter that throne of grace. and bring your needs before me because I want to hear them. Because I am a righteous judge and I love you. Jesus asks a question. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, what Jesus is saying is, prayer is an indicator of faith. Do you trust God? Do you profess your trust in God? I trust God. I believe in him. Well, then show him. Show him in your prayers. Show him in your prayer life. Show him as you seek him. Trust him, not just in word, but in your action of going and relying on God, coming before him in thanksgiving and in devotion, making your request known. If an unrighteous authority is motivated by persistent, how much more a holy and just and good Father is motivated by the persistence of his children? See, that's Jesus' point. And so I have a couple questions for you. This passage is all about prayer. God says, okay, this is what it means to be my people. And I want you to devote yourself to prayer. I want you to have a life of prayer. And so the question for you is, will you be devoted to prayer? Will you devote yourself to prayer? Will you make it a priority in your life? Number two, will you be alert in prayer? Will you be watchful, ready, alert, on guard, ready to bring those needs before the Lord? And number three, will you be thankful in prayer? Will you have an attitude of thanks in all things, even in the trials that come your way, even when the Lord prunes you, when the Lord disciplines you, and when the Lord does things that at the time, boy, they hurt. But can you be thankful for God working his will in your life? Let's be a people of faith and a people of prayer. So let's go before the Lord right now. Lord, we're grateful that we can come before you. Thank you that you invite us to come to pray. Lord, you're not bothered. You're not upset. You're not inconvenienced by our prayers. But Lord, you welcome that you beckon us to come before you. Lord, help us to grow in this area. For we pray it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.